We're going to swoop right in there with one of the best views that there could possibly be. After a quick reminder, all of those, all the usual housekeeping bits. And then there she is in all her glory. I have a confession to make before we even begin our tour this afternoon, this morning, this afternoon, today. We as Blue Badge Guides, we are not supposed to have favourite walks, favourite places, favourite sites. We are supposed to be like Switzerland. We are completely neutral. If I had to have my arm twisted up my back and say which is my favourite place to guide anywhere, this is it. St. Paul's is my favourite. I don't know whether it's the architecture, whether it's the history, whether it's I'm a bit of a fangirl of the architect, Christopher Wren, all of these things that combine. And when we get inside on our tour today, the breathtaking interiors, it's my absolute hands down favorite. So I'm going to try not to gush too much, but you will be getting a lot. This is hands down my favorite place to take you. So it's a privilege to take you inside virtually today. But here she is from the outside. And where we are situated, if you're familiar with the City of London, we're almost on the westernmost boundary of the city. Anyone who's done one of my archaeology tours, if you've done a sort of walking tour of the city, if you're imagining that city map, we're right on the westernmost side. And we are, you would never know it to stand there, but we are at the highest point in the City of London. We are on a hill, on Ludgate Hill. And the number of the skyscrapers, the buildings that are now built up all around, make it a little bit difficult to grasp the concept of being at the top of a hill. But it is the highest point of the City of London. To the west, the valley, the Ludgate Valley, swoops down towards what used to be the River Fleet. It's now covered over. You can just make out still the Holborn Viaduct on the horizon line, but the Fleet is long gone, buried underground, but Fleet Street still bears its name, and that connects you up to the west towards Westminster and West London. And if you go to the east of the cathedral, you head right into the heart of the financial district, all of the city skyscrapers, the money-making district, and that's all over to the east. I just want to make sure that everyone is, there we are, no, that's fine. Just popping bits into the chat. It's the fifth version of a church to stand on this site, and the church records go back to 604. AD. So we are looking at an astonishing historical breadth of almost 1500 years of history on this site. And the church that you're looking at is actually the fifth version to stand here. The beautiful Christopher Wren Baroque masterpiece that you're looking at, not the first by any means, but the fifth. And the church's history all the way back to 604, potentially even earlier than that. When I come to talk to you a little bit about Wren later on, there were Roman remains discovered when Wren was rebuilding St. Paul's. Unfortunately, not a lot of it was kept at the time. It was all built on top of, and to be able to find out exactly what Roman remains are there would involve digging underneath St. Paul's. So that's not going to happen anytime soon. But potentially that 1500 year history goes back even further. St. Paul's is very much London's church. You'll hear a lot about Westminster Abbey being the nation's church, the royal church, the coronation church. St. Paul's is the one that belongs to us Londoners. And I think that's possibly another reason why it holds a very special place in my heart, because it is very much the church that appeals to those of us that live in and around the city and Greater London itself. The current building that you're looking at, Sir Christopher Wren, it was completed in 1711. And the reason that this version is the one that stands there today is because the previous version, a medieval Gothic enormous church, which I'll show you in some drawings a little bit later, that one was completely ravaged and almost completely destroyed by the Great Fire of London in 1666. So that's a little overview. Before we dive into the tour itself, let me just launch a very simple poll. I've got three polls for you today, a little bit of interaction in the tour. And the first one is a very simple question. Have you been before? Is this the first time that you're seeing and hearing about this amazing church, or have you been inside previously? So most people, almost everyone, lovely stuff. Thank you. Nice and quick. It's always easier with a small group. So almost a full house have been before. Just one person has not been. Well, for you, then this is going to be a wonderful introduction. For everybody else, I hope it's a reminder, a little bit more detail, a little bit more of a deep dive into what you experienced when you saw it for the first time. So it's good to know who's been and who hasn't. Let's move on to our next slide. This one is, of course, the Dome. The Dome is one of the most famous sites in London. As Blue Badge guides, we are always warned not to use the word iconic, because if you call everything iconic, then really, what's an icon? Nothing is iconic if everything is. But if there's one thing that I think really does truly deserve the title of something being iconic, it's definitely St. Paul's. That dome is recognised all over the world. The only people who can lay claim to having something grander or more spectacular are probably the Italians, with St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, which Wren very much took his inspiration for when he was designing and building the version that you can see in front of you. It's a very classical style of architecture, but it's actually known, if we were going to give it its proper title, the architectural style is English Baroque. And I'll explain exactly what that means when we head inside in a few more slides' time. Another view of the facade. This one is the southernmost portico. So this is, if you imagine, if you're familiar with London, you're coming over the Millennium Bridge from the Tate Modern. You've got the south bank of the River Thames at your back. You've got the Globe Theatre, the Tate, Borough Market, London Bridge, all behind you. You walk over the wobbly bridge, the Millennium Bridge, and this is the view that you can see in the distance through the gap in the buildings. The reason that I'm showing you this side before we move around to the main entrance is because of this little architectural addition. And let me zoom in on it for you. The Latin word, that isn't, lots of people look at that and say, oh, that's an eagle. It's not an eagle, it's actually a phoenix. And the phoenix is the symbol of St. Paul's. And Wren actually must have been having a bit of divine intervention when they came up with this. The motto underneath says Resurgam, which is the Latin phrase. Essentially, it means I rise again. And the phoenix, as I'm sure many of you will know, the phoenix is the bird that it bursts into flames and it rises from the ashes of the flames, is how it's reborn. And so very appropriate for a cathedral which burned down completely in 1666 and literally rose again from the ashes thanks to the genius eye and hand of Christopher Wren. Wren could not possibly have known that the cathedral would resurgam again, not even 350 years later, when we had the Second World War. The Blitz of the Second World War, we'll talk a little bit about a little bit later on, but resurgam, definitely appropriate that St. Paul's survived the firestorm.